بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. قال الله تعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا قمتم إلى الصلاة فاغسلوا وجوهكم وأيديكم إلى المرافق وامسحوا برؤوسكم وأرجلكم إلى الكعبين، وإن كنتم جنبا فطهروا، وإن كنتم مرضى أو على سفر أو جاء أحد منكم من الغائط أو لمستم النساء فلم تجدوا ماء فتيمموا صعيدا طيبا فامسحوا بوجوهكم وأيديكم منه. ما يريد الله ليجعل عليكم من حرج، ولكن يريد ليطهركم وليتم نعمته عليكم لعلكم تشكرون. صدق الله العظيم. إمام نووي رحمه الله، in the introduction of this chapter which deals with the virtue of wudu, has mentioned the verse of the Quran, certain aspects of which we already discussed. Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O people of iman, idha kumtum ila salah, when you decide to perform salah or when you stand up to salah, prior to that it is a conjunction, it is a requirement and it is an imperative command from Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala that you perform wudu. What is wudu? فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Wash your faces up to your, wash your faces and your hands up to your elbows. وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. And pass a wet hand over your forehead and wash your feet up to the ankles. Up to this point we discussed, obviously, masail pertaining to, or the laws, regulations, injunctions pertaining to wudu, how wudu has to be performed, what is farz, what is sunnat, what is nawafil. We are not going to go into too much of detail of that. Suffice to say, it is important. If for whatever reason we don't know what the masail of wudu are, it is extremely important. We cannot possibly overstate the importance of this, that we should learn how to make wudu correctly, fulfilling the various injunctions pertaining to it. To continue with the verse, فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَإِذِيَكُمْ مِنَ الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ. Allah says, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاتَّحَرُوا. If you are in a state of janabat, in other words, what we call حَدَثِ akbar, that state of impurity which requires or makes compulsory upon you ghusl. For example, you had sexual relations, intercourse, etc. Person maybe had a wet dream or whatever it may be. Fattaharu. Allah Ta'ala says, then you have to make ghusl. Fattaharu, in other words, purify yourself. This is isma mubalagha. Allah Ta'ala, this is where it is emphasized. In other words, you need to take a bath. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاتَّحَرُ وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرُ. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى فَغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَإِيدِيَكُمْ إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ وَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. وَإِن كُنْتُمْ جُنُبًا فَاتَّحَرُ وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرُ وَإِن كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى. The latter part of the verse, Allah Ta'ala, فَتَيَمَّمُوا سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِرُؤُوسِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ. The entire verse is not mentioned in the kitab. Basically, it is written up to the latter part of the verse. What Allah Ta'ala speaks of a situation where if a person has such a sickness where he cannot make wudu for whatever reason, or there is no water available, then the Quran lightly touches upon what we call making tayammum. There also the masail, how to make tayammum if there is no availability of water, etc. Allah Ta'ala very briefly in the Quran it is mentioned, فَمْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, that you pass a hand over the face and your hands up to the elbow. In other words, سَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا, you have to look for pure sand and then carry out the tayammum. It's not the purview of our discussion to go into the masail of tayammum, etc. But one very important lesson we learn, our shariat and our deen does not unnecessarily make things difficult for us. A lot of us have this mindset, deen is difficult, shariat is difficult. And a lot of times we make it difficult upon others. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Ad-deenu yusrun." He said, deen is easy. How easy? How easy is Islam? We can learn from other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein he taught us that Islam is what we call deen-e-fitrat. What does this deen-e-fitrat mean? For example, if a person is thirsty, nobody has to come and educate him, then you know what, you are thirsty now, look for water. Instinctively, person automatically looks for water. Allah has designed us like that. If person is hungry, you instinctively look for food. What we learn from these ahadith, and what Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran also about Deen-e Islam, Fitrat Allah allati fatara an-nasa alayha. That Islam is Deen-e Fitrat. Allati fatara an-nasa alayha. Allah Ta'ala has placed you upon that fitrat. What we learn from that is this very, very important lesson. Like I said, how easy is shariat? Instinctively, Allah has made all this part of our nature. If we had kept the purity of our nature, then the laws of Islam are such that a human being naturally will lean towards that. That's how easy shariat is. Like naturally, when you are thirsty, you look for water. When you are hungry, you look for food. When you are feeling cold, you look for shelter. In exactly the same way, every law of shariat is such that naturally a human being will lean towards that. And this is why Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, that in the obedience of Allah, in the remembrance of Allah, is the tranquility of the heart. If a man is practicing on shariat and deen, naturally he'll have that sukoon and peace and tranquility because he is following his nature. When you go against shariat, when you go against the commands of Allah Ta'ala, this is where in reality you start fighting against your nature, which is why when a person's life is not on shariat and deen, besides the fact that he's making guna, etc., he will always feel that uneasiness inside. He feel that emptiness inside. He feel that desolation inside. And the solution to it, bring your life onto shariat and deen. And this is what is, like I said, this is not the purview of our discussion to go into the detailed masail that I mentioned in that verse about tayammum, about when a person is in a state of janabat, etc., or he has to go for relieve himself, or number one or number two, etc., what the masail are. It's important that we learn that. This advice is given to us. Beheshti Zewar, Maulana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali's kitab, wherein all these basic masail in a very, very simplified manner are mentioned. We should make it part of our ta'lim at our home, with our family, etc. Daily read some portion of Beheshti Zewar, particularly masail, how to make wudu, how to read salah, etc. Because these are things that affect our day-to-day life. Coming back to the point, the latter part of the verse, Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran, مَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيَجْعَلَ عَلَيْكُم مِّنْ حَرَجْ. When there is water, Allah commands you make wudu. When there is no water, Allah says make tayammum. In other words, Allah does not intend creating unnecessary difficulty for you. Allah wants ease. Why is Allah commanding you with wudu, tayammum, etc.? وَلَكِ يُرِيدُ اللَّهِ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ. Allah wants to purify you. Allah wants you to be clean. And this point, before we start the ahadith on wudu, لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ, that Islam requires you to be clean and to be pak and to be pure. I want to delve a little bit more on that, but we'll come to that when we complete the translation of the verse. وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And Allah Ta'ala wants to complete His ni'mat, His bounty upon you, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ, so that you can be extremely grateful to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Coming back, like I said, to this point, لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ. What is wudu? Wudu is you wash yourself, clean yourself. Why are you cleaning yourself? Because you are cleaning yourself because you are going to thereafter make salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith, he said, At-tuhuru shatrul iman. He said, being clean, being pak, being pure, this is half of iman. This is half of your shariat. This is an extremely important part, integral part of deen of Islam. Today, a lot of places you visit this. Sometimes in our homes also, this issue of paki and napaki, we are very, very negligent with regards to that. And I mentioned this many, many times when it comes to our domestic servants at home also. Have this fikr and this worry. If they are not Muslim, try and make them Muslim. You are leaving your children with them. They are cleaning your house. If they don't know the masail, for example, that domestic servant of yours that is cleaning your toilet, if there is urine lying there or there's some stools and it is not cleaned correctly, what is going to happen? Your clothing are going to be soiled. Your toilet is not in a park state. You're making your wudu, you're making your istinja, you're making your ghusl. All that affects your salah. It affects your day-to-day life. So it is very, very important. Instead of treating our domestic servants as somebody that is beneath us, na'uzubillah, Islam teaches us to treat them with compassion. Part of that compassion is to be concerned that they accept Islam. Show them that akhlaq and character of Islam. And if they don't accept Islam, at least educate them with regards to what is the rules and regulations of paki and napaki. Islam, a Muslim is supposed to be pure. A Muslim is supposed to be clean to the extent that we learn in hadith, even if there's a bad smell coming from your mouth, you should not be coming to the masjid. Clean yourself first. Miswak, what is the miswak there? To keep the mouth clean. Leave bad smells. Today people smoke sometimes, they get involved in other activities. You're standing next to the person in the masjid, the person is giving off a foul odor. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, innal malaikata tata'adha mimma yata'adha minhul ins wal jinn. He said that the malaika get taklif from that. Leave insan and jinnat, the malaika getting taklif from that. So in other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, part of my nature, Allah ta'ala has made it part of my nature, this love of itar, of putting a sweet fragrance. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sahaba, would say when he passed by a gully or an alley, if they came afterwards, they would have known Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by because of the beautiful fragrance that would emanate from there. What do we learn from that? We are supposed to be such that to be around us should be cooling to people. It should be a source of ease to them. We should not be giving off a vile odor, etc. If you look at, you talk of the culture of the purity of Islam, a Muslim is required on average, if you're making wudu for every salah, that means how many times a day are you washing your mouth? You're washing your mouth 15 times a day. You're washing your face minimum 5 to 15 times a day. You're washing your hands 15 times a day. You're washing your feet 15 times a day. You are cleansing yourself all over your body at least 5 times a day in wuzu. Each limb is being washed 3 times. So that is 15 times. What does it teach us? How much of emphasis our deen of Islam makes on being clean. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Taharat, purity, being clean. This is a part of iman. So it's very, very important in our homes, our toilets, etc. Even when we use public facilities, mustn't be that a Muslim has to use facilities and leave after that and people have to say, look at the condition of the place. A lot of times you have to see signs in our masjids where it's written by, don't stand and urinate, leave the place in such a condition, better than what you found it. We should not be needing to see some sign somewhere. We'll see in all these ahadith, importance of wudu. Allah says, لِيُطَّهِّرَكُمْ, to purify you. From this we learn the importance of personal hygiene and personal cleanliness. This is part of deen, it's part of shariat, it should be a part of our nature. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanAllah.